Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know, believe, and live the three commands that Jesus Christ has given unto the church. And what are they, dear church? To love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And may we do that in our lives, because as we do, that means we're coming under the word of our Lord and Savior, that we may walk with him. And today, that is going to be a very important aspect. It always is. But when we're looking at the book of Ephesians and thinking about where we are in Lent, last week, I talked to you at this time about the transforming of our lives through the renewing of our minds. And this today leads us into a different aspect of that. I don't know whether you've noticed, but God has put a string through all of Lent, and these things add one to the next, to the next, to the next, bringing us through Lent with a common theme of turning to him, giving up of ourselves. How many of you gave up something for Lent? Okay, I think it's awesome, because what God wants us to really give up is ourselves. You know, if you want the chocolate cake, eat the chocolate cake, okay? If you want the pizza, eat the pizza. But if you want heaven, turn to the Lord and give up of self, amen? And that's really where we need to walk. So today, we're going to walk yet again. For the sermon title here today is, Unity in the Spirit is Not Mob Mentality. How many of us understand what mob mentality is today? Yeah, we see it all the time. We see it all the time. When we were going through the things where they were burning down the cities and just trashing our world, and some places are still not in quite the right order. And it's going to take time, because mob mentality does not walk with God. Mob mentality walks with the things of this world. And we know, according to the chapter 6 in the book of Ephesians, that we fight not against flesh and blood, but what do we fight against? The powers and principalities of this dark age. And it is a dark age. It's understanding that, yes, we're enlightened people, we're smart people, we have all this wisdom and knowledge, but we're still sinners saved by grace. Amen? So that means we live in a world filled with sinners. We live in a world that we ourselves are sinners when we turn to our own desires, our default systems, if you remember from last week, rather than turning to the transforming of our minds. So this morning, let us be transformed into the understanding of the unity of the Holy Spirit. From chapter 4 in the book of Ephesians, verse 1, we read these words, "For thus saith the word of the Lord, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." As we turn to this word, and what is it asking of us? Paul here is in prison. He is in a place where mob mentality literally put him in prison. Okay? It's understanding that he is being arrested and he is housed in this place where he needs to understand that he needs to be one with God, so much so that no matter what is thrown at him, that he is able to call upon the unity of the Spirit, where he can literally be effective in this world. When you're part of a mob mentality, you are not going to be effective in this world. You're simply going to follow the desires of other people for acceptance sake. Okay? And it's that we have to come against in our lives. One of the questions that pastors always ask when you are putting a sermon together is, so what? You've just preached this word, so what? So here is the so what. If we are not walking in the unity of the Spirit, that means each and every individual needs to be one with the Lord, then what are we walking in? We're walking in our sin nature. What does that do between us and God? Does that bring us to him or does that separate us from him? It separates us from him. You see, mob mentality does not necessarily mean that you are walking hand in hand, lockstep with a bunch of people who are there at the time. Mob mentality means, what is our world's mentality? It's a worldview. It's understanding. It starts with a big picture and then it works its way down to a smaller picture. Because if we are not walking in the unity of the Spirit, we're not walking with God. We are walking in and of our own nature, and we're not seeing what God would have for us, and it's not producing the fruit in our lives that we really want our life to produce. How many of you go through life wondering why the good things seem to evade you? I think we all do. There are times in our lives that are dry spiritually. And it's understanding that sometimes it's not that God's not working in our lives, but sometimes it's because he can't. Because we have chosen to walk the way of the world rather than walking side by side with him and keeping that unity. Paul was in prison here, and he tells us that we're to walk with all humility, gentleness, patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. How much tolerance did he have to show to the jailers? Okay, this is what I'm talking about. Because there are going to be times when people are going to come against us, and we need to understand, we can either throw up our walls, revert to our default settings, or we can let those walls down and take some stuff. Now remember, we're not supposed to take all of it. We're not a welcome mat for the world, okay? But we are a signpost towards Christ. And it's living in such a manner where Paul says that we're to live according to the calling. And that calling is a calling of peace. It's a calling of transformation. It's a calling of life. And if all we're doing is pushing death back out there, sin, our own desires, are we being a reflection of Christ? Are we being a reflection of the world? So it's getting our mindset. It's being transformed. It's not doing the default settings. It's coming into the reality that I need to do a new thing, for the old things are gone and the new has come. And I need to think. You see, one of the things, and we all know this and we practice it, but there are times we forget because we do revert back to ourselves so quickly. And when I say that, I mean our sinful selves, is that we're a new being. Each and every one of us is a new being in Christ. But we have to engage that new wiring. Okay? Simply because I have Microsoft Word on my computer doesn't mean if I go into a Word program that I'm going to get the one that I want. I have to engage that program. Okay? So too must we engage God in everything that happens in our lives to walk in unity with him. So many of us find ourselves frustrated and trying, and I'm going to tell you all right now, to be a trying person is the most blessed thing you will ever be, because when you stop trying, now you're done. But as long as we are trying, God will work in us and transform us, okay? That's why we say the sinner's prayer every week. How many of you need to say the sinner's prayer every week? Amen. Because we know we're a sinner saved by grace. Jesus knew that. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Because he knows we're not eternal. And we cannot get locked into that just yet. But we're on the way. How many of you are on the way? Can you say that? I'm on the way. And that's the truth. That's where we live. That's where we have our being. And in that way, we will find truth and we will find life. And that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But he goes on from there. And he says to us from verse 4, he says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given in accordance to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives and a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." Brothers and sisters, each and every one of us needs to understand what he's talking about there when he's saying the one, the one, the one, the one. We don't turn to all these different things that the world turns to. The world turns to every little idol in their lives, okay? We need to surrender those idols over to Christ. And there is one body, there is one spirit, there is one faith, there is one God and Father who is over all and through in all and is all. And when we give up all those little things, we begin to find ourselves walking in unity with God because he is God. It's casting all these other things aside, which in itself is a miracle when we think about living with Christ and living in the Spirit, because how many of us want all the little things that are in our lives? How many of you love the fact that you have a microwave in your kitchen and you don't have to cook big meals? Okay, how many of us love the fact that we have a refrigerator in our house and we have cold stuff? Okay, I'm going to pick on my wife. I'll never forget the day we had Matt Watson over for the first time. I think he was like 14 years old. And my wife looked at him and said, "Would you like some cold in your drink?" He looked at Russell and said, "What?" She just stuck her tongue out at me. It's horrible being the pastor's wife, I'm telling you right now. But the reality is, we're so used to things that she didn't think about saying the word ice or whatever. "Would you like some cold in your drink?" You know, she figured he knew what that meant because we all have ice makers, you know, we all have ice cubes. And so that we are creatures of comfort. But sometimes we have to remember those things are just comfort. They're not idols, but we will make them idols. You make your job your idol. It's not the one thing. We'll make our children our idols. They're not the one thing. The one is Jesus Christ. The one is coming back to the unity of the Spirit. And then all those other things. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you." Because then it puts them in the proper perspective. Do you see what's going on here? It puts them into the proper perspective. And then we begin to realize, now I can understand where my blessing comes from. Because he's given gifts to all of us. He ascended into heaven. But we need to remember, not only did he ascend, but he what? Descended, because he is God over all. There is nothing in life or death that he is not God over. Can I get an amen? And that's why here in verses 9 through 11, I believe it is, no, through 10, it says this word. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. That is in there for us to understand that these little things that the world wants us to focus on, our creature comforts, our wants, our desires, our whatevers, he is God over all of them. We cannot ascend to heaven. We cannot descend into hell. He has done these things, and he has called us to be his own through the resurrection. May I get an amen? And in that we have our life. And in that life he's given us gifts. And these gifts are gifts of life, for life, that we may truly live life. Does he not tell us that he has come to give us life, and life what? Abundantly. That means being one with him and his purpose. What is his purpose? To draw all things unto himself in the fullness of time, and to know our place and know our purpose. God knows what you're supposed to be. You know, I think it's funny. I'm 63 years old, and I know my purpose. When I was in the machine trades at the age of 16, when I started the machine trades, I thought I knew my purpose. But my purpose was not to be a machinist. That was simply the job I had. My purpose in life is to love others to the place where they too love God, love others, and go. I can be a postman, okay? I can be a nurse. I can be a helper at school. I can be a plumber. I can be whatever the Lord wishes me to be as far as a career, but that does not define me. That does not set my purpose. Who sets my purpose? Jesus Christ, by the gifts that he gives us. And he says to us from verse 11, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. God wants you to reach the fullness of Christ, to become mature in all that we are. He wants me to become that, and I am yet becoming that. I've not arrived. I have not arrived. Okay? There is so much more for me yet to understand. There's so much more yet for me to determine in my life. Pastor David and I were just this past week on Thursday, we were at a ministerium with the EA pastors. And one of the pastors, he's our senior pastor in the area. Jim is 81 years old. 81, full-time pastorate. Not part-time, you know, not a pulpit supply. 81. Full-time ministry. He just told us that the Lord's doing a new work in him. You remember I told you that God's asked me to get this stuff in my being, that I don't need notes anymore? Last week I had to have notes. It was too much. This week there's nothing up here. I had to look at the bulletin to remember the name of the sermon. Okay? Guess what he's doing with Brother Jim? He was a manuscript pastor, word for word, right off of the page. The very same thing he's asking me to do that he's asked David to do, he's now asking Brother Jim to do at 81 years old. And he said, this is definitely not the same. And I'll guarantee you he's going to do the same with you. You see, he said he's going to write it on our hearts, didn't he? He said, I will write my word on their heart. And that's what he's talking about. He wants us to know it, that we know it, that we know it. And when we do, it can't be taken away from us. And that's where he wants us to walk as children of Christ. That's why we have elders. That's why we have deacons. That's why we have ministry leaders. And that's why you are here today. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you may look up to the people that are called elders and deacons and pastor, but without you, we can't be a church. Can I get an amen? Amen. Because each and every one of us plays a part. There is one body, just as there is one Lord. Just as there is one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and in all and is all. Do you see how this stuff all lays back to that unity of the Spirit? It's being one in and with him. And each and every one of us has a part. And without you, we can't be one. But together we are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And in that oneness, we're not a mob. We're not out there trying to tear things down. We're actually trying to build things up, build people up. Can I get an amen? Because that's the life God's given each and every one of us. He hasn't put us down. He hasn't pushed us into a corner. He has opened life itself before us, that all things are available unto you. But as Paul says, not all things are beneficial to us. So guess who gets to figure that out? Yeah, we do. And God says, have a good time, but don't sin. Walk in the unity of the Spirit. See those things that aren't right and turn away from them, and I'll open another door. And then I'm going to open another door. How many of you just feel like you keep walking through doors? You know, I have to laugh because how many of you have ever been in a house of mirrors? Okay, aren't they fun? I watched a meme the other day. This little boy was walked in and he's holding his hands up and he's moving and it's like, oh, okay, I can just go straight. And he just takes off. He makes it about 7 feet. Blam. Man, there are sometimes that's the way life feels to me. Because that's what happens to us when we get too set in ourselves and our direction. God has a way of showing up and saying, ah, wrong chicken. I think you all know your pastor, don't you? And he says, now, come back and look at me. Because in that house of mirrors, who's in front of us and beside us and all around us? Self. Yeah. We have to take our eyes off of self and get our eyes on the Lord. Because it is in the Lord that we become rock solid children and we know our way. Look at what it says next. From verse 14. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Brothers and sisters, each and every one of you are a part of that body. This is what I'm talking about, that together we make one. You are one in Christ, but together we make one. And that is the picture that Christ is showing us, because we're told in the scriptures that the closest thing to our relationship with God is marriage, that between a husband and a wife. We are the wife of Christ, each and every one of us individually, but also corporately. And in that we find our being, we find our fullness. Today I came into my office and you know, I love it how God gives me illustrations at a moment's notice. I don't even know I have them until I show up. Because at this church, we do not believe we are in control. Can I get an amen? We do not own this church. And the church is us, okay? The Heart of Christ Church name is on the deed of this property, but who owns it, church? And to that I give you this. I received this note today. Rich, thank you, my dear friend, for sharing your office with me. It has made all the difference. Praying God's blessing over you in Christ. This is from Pastor Roy Klingelberger. He is the pastor of a church in Hamburg, a church of about 600 people. Guess where he studies? Right here in your facility. You opened that door to him. You see, we don't own this kingdom, do we? We are one in Christ. This pastor lives 5 minutes from the church, but it's 45 minutes to his church. And he wants to be home so that he can be here for his wife because they homeschool their children. And he doesn't want to have to do that hour and a half commute back and forth all the time. So he studies here, and you have afforded that to him. You are making a difference to a whole body of other brothers and sisters. And in that, we are one. Because we don't own it. The Heart of Christ Church understands that's how we can love others. We're not only loving Pastor Roy, we are loving 100 other brothers and sisters because he comes in here, he studies the word, and he takes that word to them. And that all happens because of you, because of your understanding of what this means. We don't say this is ours and you can't touch it. We say this is the kingdom of Christ, and if the body of Christ needs it, it's here. Can I get an amen out of you? Because we're not selfish. We understand God wants us to be so much more. Those three little things up there mean that there is so much more for him to utilize in our lives because we are no longer one, and we need to grow up in the spirit, not to be tossed to and fro because the mob mentality is drawing us to this thing. Oh, well, you've got to go over here and you've got to do this and you've got to be militant and you've got to be vigilant and you've got to be... No, you don't get to define who we are. Who defines who we are? Jesus Christ, through the power of his word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to the glory of God the Father. So brothers and sisters, may we understand that truth and may we come to that place of growing up to become mature in the word of Christ. And that means for those of us who are a little bit less, as far as, you know, I don't, you know, and I love you all so much because I love it when you come to me and you tell me these things. Because then I sit under you and I listen to you and you teach me things. Oh, but Pastor, I don't know everything you do. Yeah, no kidding, and I don't know everything you do. But together, you give me far more than you realize you're giving me. You are mature unto where God has you. Utilize what he's given you because it's unto the measure that the Lord has attained. Because that goes back to what we read earlier. God is going to give you what you need for what he needs you to do. And I'm going to tell you right now, is that not your purpose? Because God says, you're my man, you're my woman on the spot. You're the one there, and you're available to me, and I'm going to use you. And together we work this thing out until we all reach maturity. How many of you have reached maturity? Yeah, I love it. Thank you, church. We all know we got a long way to go, but we got a Savior who will get us there. Can I get an amen? And man, it says we work this thing out with fear and trembling. It's not, you know, we're going to work it out with joy and happiness. We do. That's the part I love, is we do get joy and happiness, don't we? But where are we working it out? In the fear and in the trembling. You work it out when you're down in the ditch. You don't work it out on the mountaintop. The mountaintop, you sit there and go, oh. But down here, man, that's where the work happens. So that's why he says work it out with fear and trembling, because that's where we work. We work in those valleys, but then he brings us to the high places and we get to see and know our Savior. We get to see and know that he has something far above anything we could hope for. So then I say this from verse 17. So then I say this. And affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity, with greediness. Brothers and sisters, that is the sin of Sodom. I want you to think about what I mean by that. We all know what happened in Sodom. Lot was there, and two angels came. And all the men of the town wanted to come in, and they wanted to literally, and I'm going to speak it openly because we're mature Christians, they wanted to rape the two angels that were there. And there are many people in the liberal church, oh, no, 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 that was not their sin. Read the word. Don't add your stuff to it. The word is very clear what was going on there. That was mob mentality to the point that God blinded them because they were already blind because they did not see the light of Christ. They did not recognize these two men for who and what they were. But they saw them as something to attain. And that's how our world looks at all things. When you see mob mentality, it is there to attain something of a personal nature. It is not there to attain the good of a common nature that we are all called to in Christ Jesus, which is life itself, which is the betterment of us all, to the holiness of a man, that we are no longer in sin, but that we are in the grace by which we are saved unto the day of our rapture, or the leaving of this physical body and entering into the eternal estate. You and I understand that reality. But our world walks around as Sodom and Gomorrah, looking for what they can devour. And we cannot have that attitude within the church, because it is not about my kingdom. How many of you have a kingdom here? No, we are part of Christ's kingdom. He is in control. You know, I've been accused of being the pastor. Well, you know, it's everything you want. I would ask you to ask our elders. Because that's not true. Do you have any idea how much your elders listen to each and every one of you? Because that's how important you are. At our elders' meetings, we all speak up. What's being said? What are you hearing? Where can we move? What needs to be done in our church? It's not pastors' desires. It will never be pastors' desires. And if it is, you need to get rid of me. Can I hear an amen? Because then it's a kingdom of a man. But when we realize it's us serving the greater good for all of us together, now we've accomplished something, because then no one's missed. And yes, we're going to falter. How many of you know and I'll tell you all right now, if you don't think this pastor's going to fail you, you're in for a surprise. Because I will. I'm a man. I put my pants on one leg at a time. I'm not like Pastor David, who does a somersault right into both legs. And in that, each and every one of us will fail. But praise be to God that we have each other to be raised up with and come alongside, that we are not alone, no matter where we are, no matter where we seem. But we have to be the one to open that door to others. Can I get an amen? Because we're not mind readers. You know, I used to tell my family, I don't have a crystal ball, and if I did, you really wouldn't want me around. I'm a man of God. I live by faith, but I need you to interact with me. I need you to talk to me. Tell me where you are. And I'll get on my knees and pray with you. I'll cry with you, whatever you want, whatever you need. And together we will walk in that reality, and we will not become callous, and we will not become hard-hearted, and we will not put on the practices of all this immorality and impurity, but we will put on the love of God, which will lead us to love Him, love others, and go into this world unashamedly, understanding that there's so much more life He wants us to live. I want you to look around. I'm talking to you. Look around. How many people in this church do you actually know? Get to know these people. They're your people. They're your family. They want to know you. Talk to them. You know, we have that wonderful koinonia time downstairs. It's down there for one reason and one reason only, that we get to know each other in a living room setting. That's why there's chairs and sofas. I loved it, you know, and I'm talking to St. John's folks when we came here. I loved it when I saw the living room furniture in the church. Can I get an amen? Because aren't we supposed to be living in this room? And that's what we do. We live and have our being, and we find out who each other is, and we'll cry with you, we'll pray with you, we'll celebrate with you, and we're going to take it outside these walls into this community, because that makes a life abundant, that we're not alone. And we, and I love it, and I said it several weeks ago, we have people not to abuse and not to use, but to live life with. There's the so what. Because when we're one in the Spirit, it's not what I want, it's what God wants, and I'm going to put you first. There's the so what. In a mob mentality, who comes first? So let us live in the unity of the Spirit and watch what the Spirit does in you. Pastor Dave said to me downstairs today, he said, do these people realize that every time you get up there and preach, that's a miracle? It seriously is. I don't know the mind of God, but I give him my lips. I give him my heart. And this stuff comes out. Y'all think I'm that good. Y'all don't know me that well. I'm not this good. But I serve a God who is. Can we all say amen? Let us pray. Father God, we come to you because, boy, do we need the unity of your Spirit. Because there are times, Lord, we don't know what to do or how to do it. So, Lord, we come to you with the hope of our hearts that as we submit ourselves to you, you will be God and you will draw us to the one, that we may be one with you. And together we are one church. And Lord, that church goes outside these walls to every Christian brother and sister who truly believes and holds to the word of God. May we find them and may we give them that love freely. And Lord, may we walk into the lives of those who don't love you and may we show them the way that they may find the truth and then receive the life just as we have. For that is who you are. For no one comes to the Father but by you. May your Spirit guide us and keep us this day, and may you draw us ever closer to yourself, to the purposes for which you have called us. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.